What will markets do when left to their own imagination? In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. So for a while there, we had facts for markets to digest. Earnings reports from companies, numbers on how they were doing. Well, now earnings season is over, so markets, by which we, of course, mean investors, might start to pay more attention to other things. What might those be? Susan Schmidt is head of U.S. equities with Aviva Investors and joins us. Hey there.
Good morning.
So now that earnings season is sort of behind us, what are markets going to be focusing on?
Well, right now, markets are going to continue to focus on the Fed and what the Fed says. Our next big Fed meeting is March 20th, next Wednesday. And I think the markets are going to stay tuned into commentary from the Fed and all of its members to see what they're saying. They're counting on that continued support in the Fed being ready to keep interest rates as is and certainly not raise them if there are any signs of concern or weakness in the economy.
What about global developments, China, Brexit?
Global developments become huge right now because as the market pivots away from earnings, they're going to look for data points, and other economic data is coming out from other countries. So I think what's reassuring to the markets is that we had some comments last night from Chinese officials about supporting the internal economy, and it's also largely expected by U.S. investors that there will be some sort of resolution between the U.S. and China on trade. I think the downside risk here is that we don't get that resolution because it's largely baked into the market right now.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities with Aviva Investors. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Facebook stock is down 2.6%. That's a day after news that two big names are leaving Facebook. Chris Daniels, the guy in charge of WhatsApp, and Chris Cox, who's been at the company for 13 years and is its chief product officer in charge of just about everything at Facebook, from Instagram to Messenger. This is also coming a week after Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg announced the company is making a major shift towards being more privacy-focused. On Sunday, college basketball players and fans learn whether or not their teams are going to be playing in this year's NCAA basketball tournaments. And some of us will find out who we'll be picking for our brackets at the office. Since last year's tournament, seven states have legalized sports gambling. So what does that mean for this year's March Madness? Marketplace's Andy Euler reports.
Americans informally wager roughly $10 billion every year on the NCAA tournaments, according to the American Gaming Association. Michael McCann is associate dean at the University of New Hampshire Law School. He says betting on your office pool is more about being part of a community than gambling.
But certainly, to the extent if people are willing to bet in an office pool, maybe they are willing to do more than that.
Since March of last year, seven states have joined Nevada in allowing people to do more than that. But those states shouldn't expect a windfall. Nevada only brought in $27 million from sports betting last year.
It's just not that much money.
Richard Oxer is a researcher at the Tax Policy Center.
That's money. That's money that could go to schools, it could go to your roads. But that's also less than 0.1% of their annual general revenue.
Oxer also has one bit of advice for your office tournament pool.
Just a nice friendly reminder that if you are so lucky as to win your March Madness bracket, that's taxable income.
Man, what a buzzkill. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
The Securities and Exchange Commission has charged Volkswagen and its former CEO with defrauding U.S. investors. It says the car company issued corporate bonds as its vehicle emissions scandal was unfolding back in 2015 without telling investors about it. Volkswagen says the SEC's complaint is flawed. There is a hotel in Copenhagen that bills itself as a place that employs recovering drug addicts. The Hotellet Hotel in the middle of the Danish capital trains and employs recovering drug addicts to help them work and reconnect with the wider community. The rooms are very cheap for Copenhagen, about $74 a night. John Lawrenson stayed as a guest to give it a try.
So here's my room, very small, neat and white. There's a little Snickers on the pillow, nice gesture. There don't seem to be any other guests apart from me, which might be something to do with not being on TripAdvisor or Booking.com or anything. You can't book online, and you have to pay in cash. There aren't any staff around either.
I find out why the next day. Staff only work mornings. In the afternoon, the hotel switches to self-service for guests who are left to pick up their own keys and let themselves in and out so that staff can deal with their addiction issues, take methadone if they need to. Chef Jonas Grinberg says half days here help.
It's taken me from being a full-time addict to being a part-time addict, which is a lot better than being a full-time addict. So I get up at 6 o'clock every morning and show up here. So it does wonders for me, actually.
What are you down to? What's your drug intake at the moment?
At the moment, it's alcohol and I guess what we call hash. I guess we'll call it, yeah. Down to about 10 beers a day in the evening.
No alcohol served to guests here, by the way. This place used to be a Copenhagen City Council drug addicts treatment centre, but in 2000 that facility moved. Janny Peterson, who was once treated here, suggested turning the building into this hotel. She's now the manager.
What happened was someone said yes. Someone in the community dared to take a risk. If it's real that we want these people to change, then we have to take risk.
It costs $450,000 a year to run. Two-thirds comes from the welfare services, a third from paying guests, who, Peterson says, are numerous on the weekends. It provides 4 permanent jobs and 30 part-time training jobs. In Copenhagen, I'm John Lawrenson for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.